Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Friday, March 5th, 2021. I'm Senator Costello. I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Holland.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you.
And Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you.
Welcome. It's 1:30, and I'd also like to thank the Recording Secretary Carrie and the LIO Operator Nate. Appreciate you being here to help us. Today we have one item on the agenda, Senate Joint Resolution 9, which was introduced by Senator Keel related to urging an exemption for cruise ships. And the plan today, it's the first hearing for this measure, we'll have Senator Keel introduce it and his aide walk us through the details of it. And then we have several members online for invited testimony. And then if there's any public testimony, we'll take it today, but we'll keep that open in case there's additional public testimony the next time we hear the bill, which would be the intention at that point to move it out. So, okay, with that, Senator Keel, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jesse Keel, and I have the privilege of representing Senate District Q, where all of you sit today. With me today is my staff member, Kathy Schlingheide. Madam Chair, members of the committee, SJR 9 calls for a life ring. In 2019, the state of Alaska saw about 2.25 million tourists. About 1.3 million of those tourists came on large cruise ships. Tourism overall is responsible for roughly $4 billion of total economic value in Alaska's economy each year. In 2020, because of the pandemic, all of those numbers dropped perilously close to zero. Small and mid-sized Alaska businesses have closed or are perilously close to closing. There's been a lot of assistance that's helped keep some of their lights on and their leases paid. The federal government has helped with the PPP, the EIDL. The state of Alaska has put CARES Act grants through our Department of Commerce out to help keep small businesses and medium businesses afloat. But the simple fact is that through an entire year of nearly no tourists, that's been enough money for business owners, many business owners, to max out their credit cards, to take out additional loans, and just barely survive. Their employees, often reliant on the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program and other help to make it through without customers coming to the businesses where they normally work. If 2021's cruise season looks the same as 2020, Madam Chair, I fear there won't be many businesses to reopen in 2022. There won't be many jobs for Alaskans to work in the tourism industry in 2022. So SJR 9 asks our congressional delegation and the executive branch of the federal government for a lifeline. This winter, the government of Canada closed its ports and its waters to large cruise ships. That decision made by our sovereign neighbor because of some U.S. laws meant that the large ships are not able legally to travel to Alaska on their usual itineraries. SJR 9 looks specifically at those laws when it addresses our congressional delegation and asks for short-term relief so that the ships can carry tourists safely to Alaska waters. Recently, Congressman Don Young introduced a piece of legislation aimed at addressing precisely this problem. My office, as I know many of yours have been, has been in contact with our two U.S. senators, and they are working on the problem as well, continuing to look at legislative solutions, at how they can be involved in executive branch solutions. SJR 9 does not attempt to tie their hands to any specific approach. It leaves open our request that whatever lane they find effective, they please help us find a lane. There are several things SJR 9 is not, Madam Chair. It's not permanent. It is not a request that we permanently change U.S. law regarding where ships are built, how ships are crewed. It is limited to the 2021 season while Canada has its waters closed to U.S. ships. Closed to the large cruise ships. It is not written in any way to encourage anything that would affect U.S. shipbuilding. The economics of shipbuilding are complex, as any industry. And if I believed, Madam Chair, that a second season without Alaska Cruises would lead all the large cruise ships to be built in the USA, I probably wouldn't have introduced this. But that is simply not and cannot be the case. The numbers don't work like that. Madam Chair, it's not an attack on U.S. jobs. The cruise lines hiring practices, I think, will remain after this resolution and any congressional action as they were before. And I will say again, if I believed that a second season without sailing to Alaska would make them 100% U.S. hire, I wouldn't have introduced it. But again, that is simply not economic reality. It is not, Madam Chair, an attack in any way on local control. There are many Alaskans who have concerns and thoughts about how cruise ships and cruise tourism impact and interact with their communities. Nothing in SJR 9 takes away in any way, shape, or form a local government's ability to zone, to plan, to build infrastructure, to build a separate dock or parking area to address those impacts. And in fact, during this pandemic, at least one, if not more than one, local government have continued to work on those issues with the anticipation that this sector of our economy will come back and they will have a need to find ways to responsibly address it. I applaud those efforts. There's one last thing the resolution is not, Madam Chair. It's not a COVID risk. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this last fall issued a conditional sale order for the large ships. It is 40 pages. It deals with a myriad of requirements that must be met before the ships can sail U.S. itineraries. It deals with testing on shore. It deals with testing on board. It deals with healthcare capacity at ports of call. It requires any number of precautions. And it is anticipated that cruise lines will take about 90 days to prove up and to show that they can responsibly take passengers and crew from port to port without spreading COVID-19. Madam Chair, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is not a hopes and prayers organization. They're a hard science protocols and protections organization. And I have every confidence that cruise lines, if they are able to sail, that meet the CDC's requirements, will engage in commerce in our communities and in our waters safely. Madam Chair, with that, I recommend the resolution to the committee. I'm more than happy to take questions.
Questions for Senator Keel. Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I see that everyone on this committee is sponsoring this, so that's good. That's a good sign. But do you have any confirmation, Senator Keel, from the shipping companies themselves that if we can have that one issue solved, that they will then be sending ships to Alaska?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Stevens' questions, the cruise lines have not made any commitments. They have also not made their final commercial decisions. My hope is that we can continue to move this resolution quickly and that Congress and the executive branch will act quickly. With a 90-day prove-up process, those lines need to make their commercial decisions relatively soon. So I am hopeful, but I don't have – no one has made any promises.
Well, thank you, Senator. So this is a big issue to the cruise ships. I mean, I think Alaska, I don't know what percentage of their business it is, but it's going to be a large portion of their business, right? They're coming to Alaska.
Yeah. Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Stevens' question, it depends on the line. We can look, we can look at the numbers any number of ways. Alaska is about 4.5 to 5% of global cruise business. Some lines don't transit here at all. But those lines that transit Alaska's waters and have made them a key part of their business plan, Alaska is a tremendous piece of their business. You know, the some companies send a dozen ships to Alaska waters. Some send only one of the large cruise ships. I think, from my perspective, it is the customers who come on those ships and patronize Alaskan-owned small and medium businesses and employ Alaskans. They're the primary focus of SJR 9.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there further questions of committee members? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Senator Keel. Were you planning to have your staff discuss any of the sections of the bill?
Madam Chair, that's certainly an option if you'd like. My staff is prepared, but I'm more than happy to save the committee the time since I believe you've all had a look at it.
Okay, thank you. We do have an amendment before us. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move an amendment to SJR 9.
I will object to Amendment 1 just for the sake of discussion. Senator Keel, would you like to describe or explain the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support Senator Gray Jackson's amendment. The intention is simply to clarify the second resolved clause. There was testimony in the Transportation Committee from a member of the public who was concerned that it could be misunderstood. That resolved clause calls on the executive branch of government not to fine or take other enforcement action against cruise ships sailing Alaska waters while Canada is closed to them. And this simply, the concern was that that's could be read as a request not to fine them for some gross misconduct that none of us would support.
Okay.
And, of course, this amendment makes it very clear. We're just talking about the federal laws that would otherwise restrict their transit.
Okay. I remove my objection to Amendment 1. Is there any further objection to Amendment Number 1? Okay. Seeing none, Amendment Number 1 passes. And with that, I would like to now move into invited testimony, and you're welcome to stay there, Senator Keel, as we do this. The first individual that I invite, not sure she's online yet, let's go with Patty Mackey, who's the president and CEO of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau. Patty, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the committee and provide your testimony, please.
Thank you, Senator Costello and members of the committee. I'm going to assume you can all hear me. I am Patty Mackey, and I have been the president and CEO of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau for many years now, beginning back in 1995. I appreciate the opportunity to speak a little bit on what the loss of the cruise industry has meant for our community. Last year in 2020, we could have expected that the entire visitor industry would have brought about $263 million in revenue to our town, and this is in community spending. This is not overall trip spending. And of that, about $220 million of that is estimated to come from the cruise line business. That includes $190 million in passenger spending, $7 million annually in estimated crew member spending. The cruise industry itself spends about $20 million on everything from state and local fees to dockage and port development assessments. We also estimate, or at least the city estimates, that about 35% of sales tax collected is paid by visitors, which would have, in 2020, pre-pandemic, would have amounted to another $4.5 million. The industry provides 1,350 direct jobs and about $76 million in total labor income. In 2021, we've already seen the port calls that were initially scheduled decline by 55%. That's due to a variety of reasons, but cruise lines have started pulling sailings as they await the go-ahead from the CDC and, of course, deal with the issue with the Canadian port closure. Our original passenger estimates have now declined by almost half. And that would have been if those ships had traveled, had come here at full capacity, which traditionally they've done. However, it's more likely that those ships will reduce their capacity as a result of COVID-related protocols that they will be required to observe. So we're probably looking at about 370,000 passengers, which is down from the original 1.3 million we would have expected. And, of course, all the associated spending will also decrease as a result. Just some real quick thoughts about the business community. We've researched and we've got about 90% of our businesses are either local or Alaska owned. And what I think is really important too is that most of them haven't received any income or source of revenue other than the programs that have been established since October of 2019. So they're going on now a year and a half, and if we don't have a season this year, they'll be looking at 2.5 years before they're able to generate revenue if we have a season in 2022. I'll stop right there and just say thank you for the opportunity to share some of this information with you and the committee today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patty. Appreciate your testimony today. Next, I'd like to invite Beth Weldon, the mayor of Juneau, who's online. Beth, if you could introduce yourself to the committee and provide any comments on the joint resolution.
Thank you, and good afternoon to everyone. I'm Beth Weldon, mayor of the city and borough of Juneau. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today in regards to Senate Joint Resolution Number 9. We appreciate the assistance that the Alaska State Legislature is considering to help bring back the cruise line industry to Alaska. Having no ships last summer has been devastating to Juneau. Our city government is hurting, our local businesses are hurting, and our neighbors and friends are hurting. In a nutshell, for direct costs for Juneau, for each fully lost summer cruise tourism, we lose $26 million in sales tax and passenger fees, and that's not including any of the collateral costs to the businesses and the employment that is associated with the cruise line industry coming to town. But as you're aware, this is just not a Juneau issue. The lack of cruise ship industry is devastating to the southeast region and also to the interior, as many of their visitors come from the cruise ships. Again, we appreciate your effort on behalf of our communities that rely on the cruise ships so heavily in their budgets and in their citizens' livelihoods. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Beth. And Beth, you have a question from Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, not a question. I just want to thank the mayor for the hosting the legislature here every year and for doing all the efforts you've done to help us provide vaccine to the many of the 450 people that work in this building. And just want to express that thanks, Madam Mayor.
I appreciate the recognition, and we hope that you all get vaccinated soon and we can try and get this year behind us.
Thank you, Mayor Weldon, and I want to echo Senator Stevens' comments. I would like to know if Sarah Phillips is online with the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. Okay. Sarah's not online with us. Today is invited testimony. We are also going to take public testimony and keep that open, so if she's available at the next meeting that we have on this, we'd certainly love to hear from her. I did want to point out for the members that we do have letters of support for the resolution, a few in opposition, but those are also included in your packet today. I just wanted to point that out. And with that, I would like to open public testimony on SJR 9. Is there anybody online who wishes to provide public testimony? Okay, there's nobody online, and I don't see anybody here in Juneau. We will keep public testimony open for SJR 9. And does the sponsor have any comments before we adjourn today's meeting? We will be hearing this again, as I mentioned, and passing it out at the next meeting.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. I appreciate the committee's time. I will just add the breaking news that both our U.S. senators have now introduced legislation as well to address precisely this issue. So I thank you for the committee's time and consideration of adding a little support to their legislative packets. That's breaking news in the last few minutes.
Thank you. And one final question of mine. So assuming this does pass the legislature, could you share with us, and it is listed here, what happens when a resolution is sent to Washington, D.C.? How do we send it, and who are the recipients of it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The resolution will be sent on to the folks listed. Those include the President and Vice President of the United States, our congressional delegation in Congress, Senators Murkowski and Sullivan, Congressman Young, as well as all the other members of the United States Congress. So each of them will get a formal copy of the legislature's enactment. And Madam Chair, I just, in thanking all of you for co-sponsoring as well, I think, you know, these are very, very formalized letters. They are formal requests from our government to another level of U.S. government. The number and the breadth of the co-sponsors, I think, sends a message. It sends a message that in this pandemic, this is an important step. It's a one-off step. It defies political lines. It defines the usual boundaries of what we think of as political fights. It is a call for help to save our economy in this specific way. So, Madam Chair, with that, I thank the committee for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. And I certainly personally am a huge supporter of the tourism industry, and I know we all are on the committee. It brings so much to our state. The return on investment is about $35 for every dollar we invest, and so it's a tremendous industry. It's an industry that young Alaskans can participate in up to, you know, the larger cruise ships, and most of our independent travelers are original cruise ship passengers. So they, as you know, as they introduce themselves to our state, they then return to other communities and provide economic benefit, you know, to our community. So with that, if there's any further comments, okay, seeing none. Our next meeting is Monday, March 8th at 1:30. We will consider the governor's appointees to the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Connie Doherty, Tina Taylor, and Chitsana Sipkanfe. We will also hear Senator Hughes's Senate Bill 27, Industrial Hemp Program, and the governor's Senate Bill 87, Reinsurance Credits. So with that, at 1:53, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee is adjourned.